Hello and welcome to October's episode of the All For One podcast. And just before we get going today, I want to say a massive thank you to everyone who's listened to an episode, left a review or sent me a message over the last year or so, because well, we all know what it's like to live with type 1 diabetes, don't we? And sometimes it can be hard to stay motivated, but thanks to you guys, I've always got a reason to be creating content. But why am I being all weird and emotional? Well, it's this week, at the end of this week, in fact, that I'm going to be celebrating, or marking at least, my fifth diversary. And I really think those 5 years would have been a lot more miserable if I didn't have my YouTube channel, this podcast, and now my TikTok. So if you'd like to help me celebrate, then please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening or watching this. Subscribe to my YouTube or just drop me a message to contactallforone@gmail.com and let me know what you think of the show. Just like at Miss HRH did on Instagram. She said, "Hiya, I just wanted to message and say how useful I found your podcast about diabetes. I was diagnosed in May out of the blue during lockdown. As a 34-year-old woman who had a lot of plans, it threw me when I was diagnosed. I felt let down by the NHS in terms of support. For me, I needed information and to know I could have a normal life. That's the only way I'd be able to come to terms with it. So I searched and found online groups and books, and your podcast has been so helpful." Lovely message to receive there, and she's actually going to be joining us when our panel returns in November. But first, today we are joined by two ladies who go by Young, Wild and Diabetic on Instagram, Lucy and Chloe, who've been best friends for over 10 years and eventually both became type 1. They join me now on the All For One podcast. So guys, Young, Wild and Diabetic, what is it all about?
Basically does what it says on the tin. So at the moment we're young, we might not be forever, we still feel it. We used to be pretty wild until lockdown, to be honest. We do what we can now. And we're both diabetic, but we kind of put that at the end of the name just because it does come at the end. We live our lives before we think about diabetes. It just becomes part of our life, and we always say you're young, wild and diabetic in that order.
So it's quite a new thing, something that began during lockdown, am I right? You both took the plunge, it was something that you wanted to do for a while.
Yeah, I think obviously we both have really crazy lives, and Lucy graduated a year before me. So I was like finishing up my final year, working, it was just not really, I don't know, I feel like you don't realise how actually much of a commitment actually having an Instagram page is. Like we're just like, well, we've got time, let's just do it, let's like provide something, that use a platform to provide something that we would have loved to have when we became diabetic.
So like that's what it is then, support. It's like, look at us, we're diabetic, but you know, we're still having fun, we're still going out socializing before lockdown, obviously, and like doing things that you would see an average person doing. And that's one of the things that I tend to get messages about, because I don't often sort of like post, you know, unless it's on TikTok, or I'm changing my sensor, or I'm redoing my pump. I don't often post that. I post about all the other stuff on Instagram. And those are the messages that I get off parents and elder sisters or elder brothers of people with type 1. You know, thank you for just showing that you were on a paddleboard today, or you went swimming or whatever, because it's showing them that they can, you know, have a crack at quite a normal life too. So, but that's something that you do dive into as well. You do sort of show the diabetes part of your life quite heavily on your Instagram, and you have featured words of the day and that sort of thing. So did you have a sort of plan when you started, or has it sort of just developed naturally, I guess?
I think when we started, we didn't really think people would be interested in our normal lives, because we're just normal people. So we thought it needs to be diabetic related. We know so much from each other. We just wanted to put out there what we've learned, and just funny things about it, and things that we say to each other each day that people could relate to. And then from then, we kind of probably now 50-50 sure what we're doing in our normal lives, as well as in like our diabetic lives. And it seems that people like both content. They like to see kind of the everyday, like what we have to go through, but also that we're just having fun and it could just be a normal social media post without diabetes related.
So I started doing these sort of one-to-one podcasts when lockdown began, just sort of finding people online that are doing quite cool things. And you guys actually got in touch with me at just the right time, because I want to do another series more of these as we probably head into, you know, varying stages of a national lockdown around the country. But what did lockdown do to you guys and your lifestyle and your diabetes?
Oh my God, I am literally the most spontaneous person ever. Like, I'm never at home. Even when I was at uni, like, I was never in. Like, I was always out.
You were the wild bit, to be fair.
Yeah.
I'm the young, she's the wild.
And we're both diabetic. No, it's just, to be honest, it probably made us focus a lot more on our diabetes, because I think sometimes, obviously, it's hard juggling life and diabetes as it is. And I think, what else have you got to do in lockdown other than focus on your sugars?
Absolutely. So, we learned so much, didn't we? So we learned so much just by having the time, having the Libra, prepping and planning and stuff like that. And then actually just through the Instagram, we were learning new words. That's why we did the word of the week, because we're like, we've never heard of this word before. We've just like come across it. This needs to be shared with everyone. So yeah, we actually learned so much about our diabetes. Yeah.
And that is quite positive to hear, actually, because I guess through lockdown, I became such a couch potato. I've spoken about it before on the podcast, how sort of like lazy I've become. And I used to be, you know, out and about filming every day, you know, literally running around different cities across the UK, and being incredibly busy doing loads of exercise. And I've sort of had to, you know, I relied on that so much to manage my diabetes, just my baseline activity. Didn't have to worry because I was so active that as long as I ate right and I didn't go mad with, you know, loads of carby foods, then I didn't really have to worry and I'd have a great HbA1c without even, you know, having to try too hard. But now it's so different, because now for almost the first time in these 5 years, it's requiring like quite a bit of attention to get it right. And I haven't cracked it yet. And I'm almost like, oh, I'm resenting the fact that it's needing so much attention from me. And I guess that's sort of what you're trying to, not dispel, but sort of combat the idea that it's you know, it's a negative weight on your life. You're trying to show it in, you know, it's part of your life, but it can be a positive part if you let it.
I think as well, we really wanted to be transparent with our page, so we wanted to show the good parts, and we wanted to be like, yeah, it doesn't stop you, because it doesn't stop you doing anything. We do believe that, but then I think like we do this thing on a Sunday where we like to reflect on like our Libra views. And like quite often there's a lot of orange bars, there's a lot of red bars, and like we have so many messages where people are saying like, thank you so much for showing that, I thought it was just me. And we're like, no, like, and they say like a lot of people show like all the good parts and like the positive. And obviously when you do have a positive reading, you do want to share it because you're proud of yourself. But I think it's showing, it's so easy to get deflated by like bad sugar readings, or what you would class as bad sugar readings. But I think obviously, especially in these circumstances, it's just not normal circumstances. Like, you can't judge yourself too harshly. And then what you're saying about obviously being a couch potato and stuff like that, I think at the beginning of lockdown when we did start our page, it really motivated us to keep pushing and like keep exercising, keep on top of it. I think recently, now like working so much as well as doing our page, I've probably been a lot worse. So I've not been doing as much exercise as I was, because I probably had more time to do it at the beginning. But now, like, properly adapting to working from home and doing the page, like, now I'm probably the same as you, like, where it is a bit. But I think it's important to show the good and the bad, you know? Yeah.
And I think as well, you probably feel the same with this. Like, we don't know when we'll be coming out of this. We don't know when life will go back to normal. So you kind of don't want to get yourself into a new routine of doing nothing and getting your bloods on track and your new ratios and things like that. And then life goes back to being busy and out and about again, and you've got to rejuggle it again. So I think everyone's kind of feeling like, oh, I don't want to make too many changes in case I go back to normal and I forget what it was like managing it then.
Now, you guys have got quite an interesting story of being best friends for 10 years and then both ending up type 1 diabetic. You know, people, you know, after meeting you, people might think it's a contagious disease. It's definitely not, by the way. And we're going to get into that after the break. But let's stick on, you know, your Instagram page, because it's becoming more than just an Instagram page. It's a bit of a business now for you, isn't it?
Yeah, so we started Why Do We Do the Shop? And it was basically just kind of demand of people saying you should definitely put something out there that makes diabetes fun, because everything we'd seen, all the kind of accessories you can buy, all the things you can buy, a lot of people have said, and it's especially mums of children with diabetes, say it's quite scary, quite hospital-like, and I definitely felt like that when I was younger and diagnosed. I was like, I don't want any of this stuff, it's weird, it's like I don't want to be reminded of the medical aspect of it. So we just wanted to make some fun products, something that like makes it exciting, something you can wear that kind of you don't actually know it's diabetic, but if you read into it you can, and it's just nice things like that. So we actually got a lot of people saying we should do it, and we just thought, why not, use this platform we've just created to help ourselves out a little bit, do something a bit exciting.
And that's just developed from there, hasn't it? Like, it's just
Yeah,
evolving.
absolutely.
I think from the feedback as well, we get so many parents like, oh my God, like my son, my daughter's seen this and like they're making diabetes look fun. And it's like, that's what we
Yeah.
sort of want. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what we want to use our page for. And if we can make a business out of it, then
Why not?
yeah.
Why not? Absolutely. Do it, do it. So, just looking at your page, I mean, you started it how many months ago? Like 5, 6, about
Yeah,
right?
2 months ago.
Yeah, and you've already surpassed my follow account, so it's going really, really, really well. Did you think it would pick up this much steam?
No, oh my
No.
God, you should have seen us when we got to 1,000. We're like, oh my God, like running around.
We don't know who these people are. Like, we get followers every day and we're like, oh my God, who are you people? We want to know every single one of you. We hope as well that it's like not just people with diabetes. We get some messages from people's like boyfriends or girlfriends saying, oh, they never want to talk about it, and it's so good to see you guys. I can relate to them a lot more now. And I think, oh, that's amazing that we've not just got a diabetic audience. And then we've got other people out there that just want to know and just want to learn
I
more
think if
about
we
it.
don't realize as well, like, oh my God, like we're nearly at the 5K mark now, and I feel like we looked the other day and we were like 5'7", and now we're like 5'9",
Yeah,
and
you
we're
are
like,
so close. I think you're 2 followers away from 5,000.
and we're like, whoa, what?
But we need to prep. We need some
Like,
balloons.
where did these followers come from? Like, crazy. Loving it.
So, wouldn't it be so funny if you hit 5,000 followers on the day that I celebrated my 5th
Oh my
diabetic
God.
anniversary? That'd be weird,
Like,
wouldn't it? Who
when's
knows?
your anniversary?
So, because I was so out of it when I went into hospital, I don't actually know the date, but I know that it
Yeah,
was
I'm the
just
same.
before Halloween.
Okay.
So, I sort of say that it's. Hang on, where are we in October? It's the 20th. So
It's
I
20.
sort of say that it's next week. It's next
Okay.
week or towards the end of this week. So that's where I sort of go for, because I've got no clue what
Do you
day
have
it
an
was when
official
I was in.
date? Let's have a joint celebration,
We
either
should
way.
do, yeah.
Yes.
So it's quite a well sort of presented Instagram account. The pictures are great, but then also I was quite impressed by the word of the day, so sort of the graphic design that goes into it. Is that, were those skills that you had before, or were those sort of things that you were doing, at university? Where did that all come from?
I think we both did art. Did you do art A level?
Yeah.
So we both did A level art. Obviously, a lot of graphics go into
We're
that.
both very creative,
We
aren't we?
yeah, we
Just
always have been, like, obviously from gymnastics and stuff like that, like it's always been a passion of ours, like the arts basically. So I feel like I had a bit of knowledge on like Photoshop and things like that. And I have a bit of marketing experience, and Lucy has quite a bit as well. So I feel like we quite mold well together, so we're really good at bouncing ideas off each other, and we're good at one person's like, oh no, I don't really like that bit.
We say, don't we, that we just have confidence that if someone posts something, we're like, oh my God, that looks amazing. Like, sometimes I see things on the story and I'm like,
Who's
wow,
doing
who's doing
that?
that? Chloe, well done. And it's just great that we've got the two of us, and I think that's why it helps a lot of people, and I think that's probably why the following gets higher, because it's just so much better to have the extra person. People can relate to us in different ways.
And even if, like, for example, you make like a word of the week or like the original designs and stuff, like they get bounced around quite a lot before they actually get put on. We'll just like have like we always have like really sporadic or spontaneous like productive hours.
Yeah.
Mine's like some point like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm just like messaging her all this stuff, and she gets up in the morning, she's like, whoa, what have you been doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm just having a play. It's funny, isn't it? Like, don't know. It's so fun, like, creating these things.
Yeah. So take me through a couple of words of the week then. So what's one that maybe I wouldn't have seen or known about?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I was shocked the other day when you put the naked shower one on, because I was like, what is that? And then I was like, oh, it's just when you obviously have no sensors on or no like pods or whatever. And I feel like that obviously caught my eye, and that's on my own Instagram. So stuff like that, I was like, people read the word and they want to read more because they think, what the hell does that mean in terms of diabetes?
Oh, like the hypo hangover.
Yes, obviously, you we love that one.
Hypos in the night, worse than a hangover in the day.
I've had a few hypo hangovers. Yeah, and I always feel really silly for having them, but it's always the ones where you like wake up and you're like, and then you eat so much. I think it's to do with how much you treat, because I used to have jelly babies in my bedside drawer, and that's what I treat really bad hypos with. And when it's like the middle of the night and I start eating a jelly baby, I sometimes can't really stop myself, so I go really really far up and then I come down again. And I think it's something to do with the
nighttime ones up and down. Seem a lot worse, so you seem to always over treat them, don't you?
Yeah, because you just want to get back to sleep as well, so you like quickly shovel it all down, get back to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there comes a point where you're just like, no, I'm just gonna have to be confident that I've had enough. I'm gonna ride it out, and you know, if I wake up, then I wake up. You know, that's sort of what you have to go.
But just
on the naked shower thing, just literally like last night, because that was a TikTok that I posted recently, and literally just last night, over out of nowhere, it's just getting so many views. I think, like, because I posted it weeks and weeks and weeks ago. What's on now? It's just about to hit 40,000 views. So I don't know what's going on with TikTok. Type 1 diabetic TikTok is obviously where it's at. Is that something that you guys are sort of looking into? Well, maybe you have it already.
Just said to Chloe, I don't have TikTok. I've been trying not to like jump on the bandwagon. I'll get hooked. So I've been really, really putting it off.
I don't post anything, but I love watching them.
Yeah.
Right.
So probably we might branch out to it. I think you'd love it. You'd absolutely love
it. I would love it. I just know that it's going to take up all of my time.
Yeah, it is. You know, they're short videos, but they do, you know, they do take a bit of putting together sometimes, especially when you work for ages on a video and it's like, it's got like 200 views and you're like, oh no, I thought I was going to get at least 50,000. But there we go, you know. You know, I'm new to TikTok, so I can't be getting too sad about it. But if you are on the socials, don't forget to follow us for regular clips and announcements for when I'm looking to fill up the panel for future episodes. You can find us on Facebook. We are at @AuthOneOnline. On Twitter, we are at @AuthOneTweets. Or on Instagram, we are at @AuthOneInsta. Or, like Lucy and Chloe did, send an email to contactauthorone@gmail.com. So you get busy with that. Myself and Lucy and Chloe are going to be back after this short break. Hey guys, don't forget to check out the latest episode of the T1D News Update, which is on my YouTube channel right now. We're doing a deep dive into the Freestyle Libre. Abbott has announced that the Freestyle Libre 3 has got the CE mark for people in Europe with diabetes. But what is going on with the 2? Why haven't we got that yet? Well, I'll attempt to answer that question for you. And also, if you fancy helping me celebrate my 5th diversary, then head over to my TikTok at Jamie Lowe TV on TikTok and check out all the videos that I'm going to be posting over the next few weeks or so there. Thanks so much for listening to me. Let's get on with the episode. Hello, welcome back to the All For One podcast, or should I say the All 3-1 podcast today. I'm joined by the girls behind Young, Wild and Diabetic, two ladies looking to spread positivity. Now, Lucy and Chloe, last month a few thousand type 1s will have headed to university for the first time. And am I right in thinking one of you was actually diagnosed at uni?
Yeah, that was me. I was diagnosed, it was like 2 days after my 21st birthday.
Wow, okay. And what was that like? Because obviously university, and this is why I wanted to talk about this, university is a massive change in someone's life. You know, you're sort of going out as much as you can for maybe the first time in your life, and then you're hit with a long-term health condition. What did you feel like?
I was very overwhelmed. I actually dropped out of the year for the rest of the year.
Right.
Because I remember literally, because I was in DKA, and then the morning of me going into hospital, I was like writing an assignment and I couldn't even like keep my eyes open for it. So then after that, I think it was a bit of a wake up call, like just take the time you need. Yeah, for a while, we did a post about it as well. Like they say that you go through like the 7 stages of like denial to acceptance. And I always definitely went through them stages. Like I just needed time to like learn, because I think one of the nurses in hospital was like, oh, so you can go out now like once every 6 months, just like have the big night out, treat yourself, but like your life's changed. I was like, my life's
doing that at Newcastle University.
I was like, my life's over. Like this is it. Do you know where I live? I live in Newcastle. So it was, yeah, it was not fun, but we got there. I went to uni, so I was very lucky. Yeah.
So you went back to uni, did you finish your...
Yeah, I went back after, so I actually lived up there regardless of just taking a year out of uni.
Okay,
cool. I just worked and I had a great team and I did the Daphne course, which helped me a lot. And then I had Lucy up in Newcastle as well. So
the amount of times we met up to get insulin and stuff. Do you remember?
Oh my God, I'd be at work.
Oh, I'm out and about, I'm not getting any needles, quick.
There we are on Find My Friends.
Find Friends, and she'd just turn up at whatever like pub I was at and just be like, oh, I need some insulin.
Because I mean, you guys have had quite a unique experience in that respect, because obviously, you know, Lucy, you were diagnosed sort of long before Chloe. So what was that like as two friends? That must have been a very strange moment when Chloe told Lucy that, oh, I've joined the gang, mine's gone too.
Yeah, so the funny story is, so on Chloe's 21st, she had a little kind of like do at this bar. All the friends and family were there, my family was there. And Chloe's grandma actually said to me, I think Chloe's diabetic. And I just laughed it off. She was like, honestly, yeah. I just think she's got all the symptoms. I think she's diabetic.
And I was like, so dramatic.
Shut up. Like, are you kidding? Like, she can't have that. I've got that. Like, we do everything together. We're not having this together. And then literally it must have been 2-3 days later, she rang me up. I think I'd gone back to uni. And she was like, I have got diabetes. And it was like really silly 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, just... in absolute shock, but I suppose her grandma had kind of prepped me.
Yeah, just... well, there you go.
Now
is your grandma psychic or anything like that? Does she do lottery numbers too?
I feel like she needs to predict lockdown.
Yeah, well, that would be helpful, wouldn't it? I mean, I've got a similar story to that, because I was on a friend's holiday to Salou, and we were actually, oh, it's a nightmare. It's one of them holidays where you travel back on a coach. And my friend Danny was sat next to me on the coach, and he was heavily in DKA at that point, but obviously none of us knew what that was, or to be able to spot the signs. And he had like fur on his tongue, and he was like drinking all this water, and bottles were piling up around our feet, and I was getting so annoyed at him. And then obviously, you know, a week later, we found out that he's got type 1 diabetes. So a year later, probably a bit more than a year, because it was in the October, I obviously started to get severely DKA too, and that's obviously how I went into hospital with really severe DKA. And I remember one of the days, maybe 2 or 3 days before I went into hospital, I was stood in the shower and I was like, oh, I was all a bit woozy, a bit dizzy, and then just a thought came into the back of my mind saying, oh, I wonder if I've got what Danny's got. I wonder if I've got type 1 diabetes. And then I was like, no, that's impossible. Like, the odds of that happening are just absolutely impossible. That's not what it is. And then, yeah, it happened to turn out that it is. But you know, I haven't, you know, spent too much time with Danny since he's been diagnosed. He sort of lives at the opposite end of the country, so we meet up, all of us, probably about 3 or 4 times a year before lockdown, before, you know, when that was, you know, legal. And we have very different experiences with diagnosis. I know he maybe struggles with it a little bit more than I do, or I did. But have you guys found a lot of support in that? And have you guys had similar experiences? You know, do you have the same mindset about it? Because obviously you were diagnosed at different times, so one of you has more experience than the other. So how does that play out in reality?
I suppose Chloe knew a lot more about it because we were best friends when I was diagnosed. So she was basically my like buddy before I knew what a dire buddy was. Chloe was that, even though she didn't have it. So she would look after me at gymnastics. She'd look after me, whatever we did. She'd have all the supplies. She'd have all the knowledge. She came to every bit of kind of like training I did. She came to the hospital. So Chloe actually knew a lot about it. And I was in the denial stage for quite a long time. I just didn't really want to know about it. I just, my parents did it, Chloe would deal with me and things like that. So kind of when Chloe got diagnosed, I feel like you had that background knowledge and she would say
I did, but then also I think I researched quite a lot and then it forced you to, I think you got to know more about it because you wanted to be there for me as well.
Yeah, I was still probably in a bit of like, I can't be bothered with this when you got diagnosed. And I thought, oh gosh, I need to step up a little bit. I need to be the one that has all the knowledge.
It's almost a reverse experience then. So you were the expert for her when she was struggling with it. And then it flipped when you needed support. So that's really nice. I mean, how are you both doing now? Does it sort of work quite well? Now you're both sort of, I guess, all, you know, equally up to speed.
Definitely. Like when we first started the Instagram, I wanted to do it for something to do basically, and I said to Chloe, I don't think I know enough about this. I've had it so long, but I still don't think I even know if I can support people and tell people what I do and it to be legit. And since then we've just learned so much, and like definitely. I thought Chloe's gonna have to take over, and actually we're definitely on the same page now, aren't we? 100%. I would say. And we kind of push each other. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Be like, oh, you've had a really good day, well done. And I'm like, I want to have a really good day. Like, I want to put that on.
I'm jealous. I want them bloody rage at 80%.
92% is mine.
All right.
Wow, congratulations. Good job on that. So we've heard all about one of your diagnosis stories, but take us back to right at the start of when this all began. Your two young girls doing gymnastics. The diagnosis story there, what was that? How did that happen?
So I had a doctor's appointment just before one of my gymnastics training, actually. Went there and I can't really remember what it was for. It was for a whole bunch of things. We were going back to school type thing. I was drinking loads of water, but that wasn't the main reason we were going. And I went with my mum and we told the doctor, oh, I've been drinking loads, I've been weeing loads, like, is that anything to worry about? And he's like, oh, we'll just do a little blood test, we'll see what that is. So we did that, and he was like, oh, I think you might be type 1 diabetic. And I was like, what? Like, I've never heard of this, I didn't know what this was. So I just went into complete shock. He was like, go home tonight, you can't go to gymnastics, go home, and in the morning, go to hospital. So I ran Chloe straight away.
Hysterical.
Telling her the news. And I was like, I'm not allowed to come to gymnastics. My life is over. I'll never do it again.
A good weekend planned.
It was bank holiday weekend in August. It was the best. We had such a good weekend planned. And I was in hospital the whole time. I didn't have any of kind of the DKA. I didn't even really know what that was until Chloe was in it.
You actually had a great time in hospital.
Yeah, like, I had a great time. It was bank holiday.
She was obviously
I got McDonald's
in the kids ward. So she had like this great time. Got toast whenever she wanted. Yeah. Her mom could sleep over. I could come in.
We played Monopoly.
Monopoly.
It wasn't all that bad. And when you hear about some people's diagnosis story, it's scary. And Chloe's was scary. But actually mine was just that I caught it really early. It was just a tiny little symptom that I told the doctor I was drinking loads. And they managed to catch it. So it wasn't too bad for me.
That's why I missed a lot of my symptoms as well, because obviously she didn't have that. And I mean, I had the thirst, and I think, and the weight loss, obviously, I had the really bad weight loss. And I think it was like from one day to the next, and my friend at work, and she was like one of my really good friends at the time. So we were going out like every night after work, as you do in a bar job. And she was like, Chloe, like, you've lost weight since last night. Like, what is going on? Then my other friend was like, Chloe, how many pints of water have you drank this shift? Like, are you all right? Yeah. So obviously it was completely different, really, like the symptoms and things like that.
Well, In terms of my symptoms, I mean, it sort of came at just an absolutely worst time, because obviously my family noticed loads of weight loss, but it was the first time that I got a job presenting TV. So my family all thought that I was slimming down for the TV. So they were like, oh, that's what he's doing. He's thinner than he's ever been before. But obviously it's because he's on camera now. He's obviously, you know, insecure, and they didn't want to say anything. And then, you know, I'm running about all the time. So of course I'm drinking loads of water. And then it was literally like, it was literally until I passed out at my desk at work that people were like, hang on, are you ill? And then all of the symptoms then sort of made sense all in one. And everyone was like, oh, that's why you've been weird. And I was like grumpy as hell too.
But
so
it's so easily to just, they just think,
explain them away. That's what I always say. It's so easy. And I had an excuse for every single one of the symptoms.
Me too.
And you know, it just happened. So, and I think that's the difference between being diagnosed when you're younger and being diagnosed when you're older, because I think there's more of a tendency, you know, I don't know any sort of studies or, you know, I don't really have any figures to back this up, but I think there is a tendency to sort of leave it until the last minute when you are older, because I don't know about you, I just, before I had a health condition, I would really struggle, because I just thought it was so much hassle to make a doctor's appointment, you know, oh yeah, I've got an appointment in 3 months' time on a Thursday at 4 a.m. And you're just like, do you know what? It'll be better by that point. So I'm not going
to
bother.
Be like, sorry, you need to ring at 8 a.m. the next day. Like, sorry, but I'm a student.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
I'll have a hangover at that point. Come on.
I'll have more issues at that point.
But then again, I always think that I'm grateful as well that I was diagnosed. So I was diagnosed just after the summer after my graduation, and I'm sort of, you know, thanking the gods of the pancreases that I managed to have university without diabetes, because I think it would have been a slightly different experience for me. But you know, you guys obviously did manage that. So if people are listening to this now at university with type 1 diabetes, they're worried about how much of student life they can involve themselves in. Why don't you, you know, relieve them of some of that concern? I mean, how did you manage it?
Oh my God, at the beginning, I was just, I mean, to be honest, I didn't really let it affect me. We didn't really,
no.
We just carried on doing the things we normally did and just maybe took an extra insulin shot here or there.
I actually met a friend on the first day. So I went to a restaurant with my flat and I was doing my injections. I was telling them all about it. You know, had to break it to them. And there was a girl in the restaurant who came running up to me saying, oh my God, I've just started as well, university, and I'm diabetic. I just saw you injecting. And I was like, oh my God, what are the chances? Like, I didn't really know anyone else at that point with diabetes. So that was great. And in terms of that, I mean, you can get like a free mini fridge in your student flat if you're diabetic. So that's awesome. What else? It just doesn't really affect, as long as you've got it under control, it shouldn't affect you at all. Mm-hmm. I always left a bag of Haribos on my bed after a night out, and I'd just make sure to test, remember that they were there. If I needed them, I could eat them.
I think it was good with a little mini fridge. Like, I had a fridge in my room, and I just put like some Lucozade orange juice in there. And then
Lucozade and orange juice. You had bottles of wine in there.
Yeah.
Get a spare Lucozade and orange juice, though. That's really emergency.
Lucozade and orange juice. Yeah, those ones.
No, but like, just because you don't have to change your life.
Yeah.
Like, I know people say, like, you follow a healthy lifestyle, it's exactly the same as a normal person. Mm. Like, yeah, you have to be a bit more careful of hypos and alcohol. But getting your head around that and just have a kebab and feel good. Don't inject more it when you're finished, you know what I mean?
And tell people, try and make friends.
Tell people. I think that's the important point, because I don't, you know, that's one point in your life, maybe other than, you know, high school, secondary school, where you've actually got, you know, the tightest, closest group of friends, because, you know, you live together, you're in each other's pockets, you're spending all your time together. And I know people who did try and hide it from university friends at the start. There's a guy called Max that works for Diabetes UK, and there's actually quite a funny video about how he had a hypo at university, and that was how his university mates found out about his diabetes. But it obviously got into quite a dangerous situation for him to, you know, finally reveal it. But I don't think there's much in it. much in terms of a bad reaction that you'll get. I think the way that people are, and you know, the way that people are so careful about offending people nowadays, I think if anything, you'll be celebrated and applauded for being just a little bit different.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And then one time I had the Libra and Lucy hadn't got the Libra yet. And then we went out on a night out and then we were at the bar and this girl also had the Libra. So she like bought me a shot for being diabetic and Libra buddies, but didn't buy Lucy one because obviously Lucy didn't have it.
And she was fuming.
She's like, excuse me, like,
I've had it longer.
Did you get the shot?
I need this Libra. I want to be part of the gang.
Obviously, so she got a shot.
That only happened to me once. So I was at... At a festival here in Bristol, and I was in the sort of the backstage area, and I was just waiting for someone to come on. Lauryn Hill, actually, I was waiting for Lauryn Hill to come on from the Fugees, and this lady just ran over and almost rugby tackled me because she spotted that I had my Freestyle Libra sensor. You know, I was wearing like a jacket at that point. I literally must have just taken it off, like adjusted something, you know, like festival gear. I don't know. I might have just, you know, adjusted my bandana or like put some circle sunglasses on. I don't know what was going on. And she literally bounded over, rugby tackled me and was like, oh my God, me too. And we spent the next like hour and a half talking, completely missed Lauryn Hill on stage. But it didn't matter because I don't think that's ever happened to me otherwise. So it's something that's obviously happened to you two in a pub, in a bar. But has there been any other times when that's happened?
I think a place that I worked at, there was a guy and he had the Libra on and I was like, way but we didn't have like a massive conversation
just,
about
yeah it. Just like a quick one yeah just like a, yeah
I have it work quite a lot, and sometimes I like to wear long sleeve tops if I'm like can't be bothered with it, and then other times I'm like, oh, I'll show it off. And the amount of people that kind of, some of them don't know what it is and they go, oh, is that for smoking? I get that quite a lot. That's some kind of patch for smoking. I'm like, no, please don't think that.
No, I shoplifted this arm. That's what that's
like. Yeah.
But then others will just say to you, how long have you been diabetic? And it's like, oh, that's so refreshing. It's nice.
When someone gets it. And I think, you know, with what we're doing on social media, I think more and more people are getting to know what it is. I think more than ever, it's, you know, it's in the press now when people are.
And that's
because up until now it wasn't very visible as a condition, was it? But now more than ever, because of all the, you know, bits and bobs
Libra
that are attached to us. Yeah, Libra pump
TV.
Yes.
Oh, is it? I've not seen that.
Yeah. I've seen it like last week or something, week before. Never seen it before. And on the radio, I think there's another, it might be Dexcom.
Yes.
On the radio. I think that's been really recent events.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Well, there we go. Good news for everyone with type 1 diabetes. We're becoming more visible than ever. And you two are too with your Instagram page. We've got a few minutes left. So what is the grand master plan for Young, Wild and Diabetic? Is there one? What are your sort of ambitions for it?
Just to spread awareness and be support and be everyone's diet buddy that they always wanted, really.
Absolutely. Get it out there. Make it fun. Get rid of all the stereotypes.
Don't be ashamed of it. You know, like, just show people, like, don't be ashamed. It's totally fine. Like, you can live your life, have a great time, and you're young, wild and diabetic in that order.
Young, wild and diabetic. You know, I'm aging wild and diabetic, but there we go. That is it for another episode of the All For One podcast. Thanks to my guests, Lucy and Chloe. Be sure to check them out online. Search for Young, Wild and Diabetic or YWD Shop. Is that right? Is that where they can find you? Fantastic. And while you're there, come and find me too. I'm Jamie Lowe TV. And for everything else, head to the podcast pages on Facebook. We are at All For One Online. On Instagram, we are at All For One Insta. And on Twitter, we are at All For One Tweet. Or you can send me an email to contactallforone@gmail.com. Don't forget, if you want to help me celebrate my 5th anniversary, to leave me a review wherever you're listening or watching this podcast on. And look out for some diversity content on my socials later on this week and early next week. But thank you so much for watching and listening. Bye-bye for now.